How do you make sense of Palm Sunday? What is it all about? Well, I need to read it to you. From Matthew 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt beside her. Untie them. Bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away." And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who's this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." All through his life, Jesus has avoided publicity and the spectacular. And now suddenly he's on his way to Jerusalem in one of the most conspicuous and spectacular ways, and at a special time. I think it's Josephus who reckoned there'd probably be about 2 million folk in Jerusalem at that particular, it's Passover time, the most significant event in the Jewish history and Jewish calendar. And that's the day he chooses. Why? Why the donkey? Why the palm trees? Why this magnificent entry into Jerusalem on that memorable day of the Passover? And we call it Palm Sunday. So it sits me down and it makes me ask the question, what do we need to learn? If we do it year after year, what do we have to see for ourselves? What's in this? What's the lesson in this for you and for me and for us now? So I stop and I think, was it just another incident? Was it just another event in the story of his life? Or is there a very significant truth that impinges, pushes itself, not just into a day, but into a lifestyle, into our worship, into our church this very morning? And the only reason that I can see in the scripture that here was the king going home. Here is the King of Kings on his way to glory. And in the process, he was giving the nation the opportunity to do something, and he knew they would only push it to one side. He knew too well they would not accept him as king. Yet Palm Sunday is all about his right to be king. when I was a teenager, we used to sing a song like this. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. And lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. And this is the journey. This is the discovery that we must make. There was an occasion when I was docked at Amsterdam on a ship. And we were going into the North Sea, and we were going up to the Shetland Islands. And two things were required. And that's all, the only thing we did in Amsterdam. We didn't get off. But we had to replenish the stores and pick up more oil. I want to do that this morning. Replenish the stores and pour fresh oil into our meeting. Jesus knew his place. He was born a king. Did you hear what I've just said? He was born not to be, he was born a king. Because he has every right to kingship. He is born a king. Three wise men. Well, we think they're more. But let's take the Magi as they come. Why are you here? Everybody's asking them. And they say, we've come to see the one who is born a king. Born a king. If you grasp the implication of a phrase like that, you see, in royal families, when a son is born, he is born a prince. And only becomes the king, like Charles, he only becomes the king on the death of the monarch who was reigning at that particular time. And they were not reigning, their abdication. You see? And here is Jesus, born a king because he was a king before he was born. And at the end time, when time will be no more, and he has returned to this earth, and we've been caught up and we've met him and so on, he will... Timothy, 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and says, he is the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. We made a hymn out of that, if you remember. And so when Pilate asked him, are you a king? Are you a king? Then, and Jesus can reply, I am a king, not only of the Jews, but of the whole of creation. Read Psalm 2 when you get a chance. And as the King of grace, as well as the King of glory, that's how he is approaching each one of us. The incarnation, the birth in the manger at Bethlehem was a moment when he took upon himself our humanity, when he identified with us, the people he'd come to save. When there was that funeral procession at Nain, and he saw the widow taking her son, she had already taken her husband, taking her son to the grave. It says his heart went out to her and said, don't cry. And then you know how he touched the casket, and the boy was revived and came back to life. And the reaction of the crowd is the thing I wanted to mention, because they were filled with awe. And they said, God has come to help us. It's Jesus. And because of touching that casket, they recognized something. It's the King. Do you know what was the ritual of the first day of the tabernacles? You would bring branches from the palm tree. But you bring some from the willow as well. And you would wave these from the palm tree, from the willow tree before the Lord. You can read about it in Leviticus 23 if you want to have the full story. Why? Why this? Why is this part of the ceremony? Palms and willow. Because that's life. That's life. You see, the palm growing in the sun, the willows drooping, dropping down by the water, by the brook. And your life and my life and everyone's life is full of smiles and sighs. It's full of pleasures as well as pain. It has triumphs, wonderful victories, then tears. They'll flow down your face and you can't stop them. Palm branches, the willow branches. If you walk through life with just the palm branch in your hand, it's not real. Because you will hold at some point or other the willow. And the two go together. And the king is on his way to glory. He's on his way. And he's riding on a carpet of palm branches, but Friday morning you will hold the willow branch in your hand. There will be the ignominy. They'll be shouting, "Hosanna now!" But on Friday morning, "Crucify him! Away with him!" And the rhythmic, because it was a rhythmic, "Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna." You caught the beat. "Sing Hosanna to the King." The rhythm of that turns. It's just 4 days away. Crucify him. Get rid of him. And you know what it says to me? This world is not my home. This is my destiny, just to be the pastor leading a church. My home is way, way far beyond the blue. My destiny is there. The King of Kings has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. He knows all about our life situations, and he's the one who's come to help us, just like Adnan. No matter what, no matter what life will take from you, he will always be the answer. He will always be the helper. He will always be the one who will carry you through moment by moment. Jesus knew his place. He was a king. And he knew his purpose. Would you go and find a donkey and a colt that are tied up? This is part of the minutiae of the prophetic words. This is the king coming as a liberator. When that animal was tied up, it was of little use. Yet Jesus knew where the donkey was, and he needed it. And you know what? In the same kind of way, he knows exactly where you are, where I am. He knows where we are. And he knows what he needs us to do. And he knows where he can send us. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he needed the colt so it could serve his purposes. The young colt, they said, was an animal whereon a man had never sat. I hear something else there. Because I remember he was, John 19, he was laid in a sepulchre where never yet was a man laid. So a donkey, a colt that's never been ridden, and an open tomb that's never had an individual until he is placed there. And why does the king need this most humble little animal? Well, in his hands, this young colt will know his control. There'll be the crowd. There's always a rob pushing to see what's at the front. And then there's always folk like you wanting to get to the front as well. Because that's our nature. And this is a colt. This is a little donkey. This is a little ass. And no one has ridden it before. No one has broken it in. No one has tamed. Hey, it's kicking and it's pushing and so on. And you know, sometimes, unlike the little donkey, it's a poor thing. This isn't a brilliant cavalcade riding on a white horse, just a donkey. And his saddle, one of the guys took off his coat and said, "Sit on that, master, sit on that. You know, let me try and help you. In Bible times, this little common donkey, this domestic animal, the ass, whatever you want to call it, was something of great value. You see, asses, donkeys, were an indication of how much money you'd got, how much wealth you had. Go back to Judges chapter 5. You'll find that there for you. If you were important, like a prime minister, like a prince, like a ruler, like a lord, like a king, like a judge, then you rode on an ass. You rode on a donkey. Abraham was a man of great importance and wealth, and he went from Beersheba to Moriah. You can read it in Genesis 22. Do you know how? On a donkey, on an ass. And when the judges took their circuit round to hear the cases, to look at the practical concerns of the people, they did it on an ass. Jair, you can read about him in Judges 10. We're soon going to move into Judges with our readings. He had 30 sons. They were lord of the manor, we would have called it in Essex. They were lord of the city, and they rode on an ass. Balaam. Barak wanted him to curse Israel. Balaam was an important prophet, a man with imagination and vision and so on. And he was making a lot of money at that. And how did he do it? He rode on an ass. And you know what? Because he was a stubborn man, God used the donkey to talk back to him. They were going down a narrow path, and there was an angel of the Lord with a drawn sword, ready to take his life because he was being paid to curse Israel. And the donkey talks back. He beat the donkey 3 times, and the donkey said, "What are you doing that for?" Balaam talking to his donkey, and his donkey talking back. You want to know something? Do you remember Samson? You remember Samson? Of course you remember Samson. Do you know what he did? He slew the Philistines with what? With the jawbone of an ass. The man sent to warn Jeroboam went on an ass. And he said, "But it's a donkey, it's an ass." And then I stop looking at the scripture and I look in a mirror and I see myself and I see an insignificant individual that in the vast panorama of this world, we don't count for much. And in today's society where everybody is push and grab and push you out of the way as if you don't exist, it looks like you're nothing. You don't count. But you do. You do. And just like on Palm Sunday when they said, the Lord has need of him. I came to tell you again, key to Palm Sunday is you understanding the simplicity of this. The Lord needs you. And he needs me. He needs us. And Jesus needs us where we are, because he's here and he's now. That's all that he ever did. He touched people where they were, not where they ought to be, and where they should have been, so much to make them what they could be and should be. He was right there. And I want to tell you, as we rebuild our church, with regard to our finances, his riches will be our resort. His words will be our instruction. His book, the Bible, will be the manual for our life and for eternity. And it is still the same challenge this Palm Sunday. The Lord needs you. Whoever you are, he needs you, just as you are. There was a shoemaker, a cobbler, and he spent his evenings studying Greek and Hebrew and other languages. He read Captain Cook's Voyage to expand his horizons. And he worked through the day cobbling shoes. And people jeered and they questioned, why didn't he get a better job and a bigger job to help keep his family? That young shoemaker became aware that in our world there are millions of people who've never heard around Jesus, who are unbelievers. And he sensed, just like the donkey, that the Lord needed him. So he became the first Protestant missionary to India. You know who I'm at. William Carey. We've had a man here, and he worked for us in one of our specials, The Life of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, all went because William Carey saw Jesus needed him. And what a difference it made. I've got to finish with one more thing. Jesus knew the problem on Palm Sunday. Problem on Palm Sunday? Oh, yes. If you read Luke 19, he saw the city and he wept. And he said, if you had only known what would bring your peace. And then one of the words that's been burned into my heart, so I can never, ever ignore it. You didn't recognize God's moment when he came. And he's standing high up on Mount Olives and he's seeing the city. He's seeing the sin and the shame. He sees its final fate when it will be destroyed in AD 70. And he sobs. He weeps. In a short time, just almost hours, it will seem, he will give his life, he will shed his precious blood to atone for sin. And there's a pathos, there's a tenderness. If you had only known the things that belong to your peace. Way back in Luke's record in 14, he's trying to get the disciples to understand the cost of discipleship. And he talked about how you evaluate the cost of building a building, how a king works out the cost of waging conflict and war, and whether he would set out conditions for a peace pact, whatever. And it was all so you could get to know peace. And I, the word used here is the word for peace. There are conditions. Way, way back, Zechariah speaking about Jesus, how he would come. He said, you know what he would do above everything else? He would guide our feet into the path of peace. Do you know what takes you down the path of peace? Repentance, righteousness, renewal, reformation. And he weeps. He weeps because he doesn't see that's going to happen in the city. The things that belong to your peace, you're ignoring them. And nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. It's the same sense. We need to find real peace, peace with God, real peace that will last. You can't get it through edicts. You can't get it when you put politicians together and governments together. We have to know the peace that comes from God. It's described as the peace of God. And he said to these folk, you didn't know what belonged to your peace. And you would not. You didn't recognize God's moment when it came. Week after week, I pray that when you will walk through these doors, that you will have a God moment. I know that he can speak to you, and he will speak to you, and he does speak to you in the week, and you will have God moments so that you can face the issues and the questions that living in 2023 will pose. And I came to ask you, do you really know God's peace? I came to ask, is this Palm Sunday a unique moment for you? The King is making his journey home to glory. And he has paused for a moment in time, a significant, extraordinary moment in time, to say something. Earthquakes and fires and wars and running away, becoming ignorant and yet think they are intelligent. Read Matthew 24, 25. Read Daniel chapter 12. Read the book of Revelation. Are we going to end times? And on a Palm Sunday he says, do you know the things that belong to your peace? Because I'm holding them out to you once more. I'll tell you about Rochford. Our town, our community is full of weary, tired people. And they will find no rest, real rest, until they find Jesus. I'll tell you about Rochford. It's full of troubled people. And they will not find peace until they find him. And there are young men and young women who will find no satisfaction in life till they find Jesus. And there are old folk, and they will go to the grave. And maybe I'll be the one that sees the casket and I take them there. And they never knew the thing that would be bringing them peace. They missed their moment. And you have a wonderful moment in this service this morning. I don't want you to talk about what might have been, what could have been. Here is another Palm Sunday. My elephant in the room. My acting out the drama with you. My sharing these words. So this question will linger in the air. And with it I close. Do you recognize God's moment for your life? If only you had known the things that belong to your peace, but you would not. You didn't recognize God's moment when it came. Don't ever let that be true for you. And I pray it will never be true for me. That God brought a moment into my life and I missed it. King of my life, I crown thee now. We have to go about our week, Lord. Keep on giving us God moments. And as we assemble and work through the awfulness of Calvary, come to Sunday, Resurrection Day, you said you would be with us. Take these dear people home safely and in peace, with the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.